She shouldn't have said what she said. All right, she could admit she'd been too angry to think straight. But Brunn had taken advantage of her time and again, and to go complain to authority was another proof of her childishness. Esme was supposed to meet Baron. He'd left word on her comm unit. But she really wanted to crawl into her bunk and sleep another 12 hours. At least, she thought, he wouldn't waste their time talking about Brunn. Brunn was the first topic he brought up, after mentioning that he'd seen the newsflash along with everyone else in the class.
You were pretty hard on her. She's not as bad as all that.
She is.
It was too much. Esme was not going to let Brunn get away with ruining this, too. She saw his face change, his expression harden against her. Sorrow cut through her, but her anger pushed her on, forcing her against the blade of his disapproval.
She had no right to come after you. If she had one scrap of morality...
That's not fair. She does. It's just that someone like that...
The richest girl in the Familius Regnant? The rules are different for the rich, is that what you're saying?
No, yes, but not the way you mean it.
The way I mean is that people who have her advantages ought to have used them for something more than personal pleasure.
Well, had you told her that we were anything to each other?
No, I did not. It was none of her business. It has nothing to do with me and you. It has to do with her assumption that anyone she wants should climb in bed with her.
Anyone? She didn't try to get you?
Esme shook her head, which was beginning to throb in the old way.
No, she didn't. Of course she didn't. It's just that she went after you, and you're an officer of Fleet, and younger than she is.
Too late, she remembered that she herself could not be simultaneously older than Brunn and co-equal with Baron.
It was unseemly, chasing junior officers.
Baron reached out, but drew back his hand before touching her.
Esme, please. It was perfectly natural, and all she did was ask. When I said no, she didn't bother me. Perfectly polite, perfectly within the boundaries of courtesy.
You said no?
Of course I said no. What do you think? You thought I slept with her? How could you think that?
Esme could say nothing. Baron, glaring at her, nodded sharply, as if her silence confirmed some dire suspicion.
You thought I did. You thought just because I shared a few meals with her while you were busy, just because we talked, just because she's a rich girl, that I'd leap into her bed like a trained puppy. Well, I'm no one's pet, Esme. Not hers and not yours. If you really cared for me, you'd know that. I'm sorry you understand so little, but if you want to succeed in Fleet, you better get off your moral high horse and start dealing with reality.
He was gone before she could say anything, and long before anyone could have suspected what she had once worried they might suspect. She made it to her quarters at last and spent another night not sleeping, staring at the ceiling over her bunk. When they met in class the next day, Esme could do nothing but stare miserably at the back of Baron's head. He did not turn to look at her. When called on, he gave his answers in his familiar, crisp voice. She found that she could do the same, though she wasn't at all sure how her brain could keep working when her heart was lying in a sodden heap somewhere below her navel. To her surprise, she received a high score on her field exercise. It did not make her feel better, though her subdued acceptance of the certificate seemed to please Lieutenant Commander Euless. She could feel the subtle withdrawal of her classmates, even those like Vericor, who had been friendly all along. Anonymity had been a lot easier than disgrace. On the day Baron was due to leave, she made her way to the exit area. She felt she had to make some contact with him, or she might as well jump off a tower. Her hands were icy. She could feel her heart pounding as she spotted him across the room.
Baron.
Lieutenant.
Baron, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insult you.
No apologies necessary.
She thought she saw a bit of warmth in his eye, but nothing more. He wasn't going to reach out to her, not here in public, and he showed no signs of wanting a more private conversation.
I just don't want us to be enemies.
Never. Never enemies, Lieutenant, even if we can't agree.
A long pause during which Esme heard what he did not say aloud, or what she imagined he was saying. She didn't know which.
Goodbye, Lieutenant, and good luck on your first assignment in command track. You'll do fine.
Thank you, and good luck to you.
Esme's throat closed on the rest of what she wanted to say.
We could stay in touch. We could plan.
She had ruined what they had, and that was it. They shook hands, formally, and then saluted, formally, and then he moved over to the line forming for his shuttle. Esme did not wait to see if he would turn around and wave. She was sure he wouldn't. Esme had not been outside the gates of the facility before, but now she found herself wandering out to Q-Town, in the kind of numb misery she thought she'd never feel again. She didn't want to see anyone from her class in the mess hall, but she had to eat before leaving or she'd throw up. Someone had said, who was it? She couldn't recall, someone on Kosciusko, that while she was on Copper Mountain, she'd have to visit Diamond Sims. She spotted the sign down the street and made for it. The man in the hover chair gestured to her almost as soon as she cleared the door.
Lieutenant Sweezer, I'm glad you came. I'm Sam. I run this place.
Someone was glad to see her? She glanced around, recognizing with a strange shock what this bar was about, and made her way toward the back.
We're honored you came by. Major Patak said you might if you had time.
Sorry it took me so long. I was doubling courses.
Oh, yeah, well, we keep track of people at the school, so I knew you were busy. Didn't expect you before now, and didn't know if you'd have time. When'd you shuttle?
Esme took the seat he indicated.
About 5 hours.
You in trouble about that meager woman?
Brunn again. Esme managed a nod and hoped that would indicate she didn't want to talk about it.
It's partly my fault. She came in here hopping mad that night and shut off her mouth in front of the whole room. We think what happened is that one of the newsies on her tail got it with a spike mic from out on the street. At least nobody that was here will admit to telling it.
It's not worth worrying about. It happened. I can't change it now.
You sound like someone who needs a steak.
The man raised his hand and a waitress appeared. He glanced at Esme.
Steak all right? Onions?
No onions, thanks.
Not with a shuttle lift off. But she nodded to the rest of his suggestions, and soon the sizzling platter appeared. She started eating.
Yeah, she's a pretty thing, but stubborn as a stump. Good argument against letting civilians train at our facilities, no matter whose children they are. It does no good to mix with the families. They employ us. They cannot be us.
For some reason, perhaps the energy imparted by the steak, Esme was moved to argue.
She had a lot of talents we could use.
Oh, certainly, if she had any discipline at all.
She did pull off some good stuff I heard about. Helping that old lady, she worked hard on that.
You'd make a silk purse out of any sow's ear, would you, Lieutenant? Good attitude for a young officer, but you'll find some of them smell a pig no matter what you do. So, where are you going now?
I'm not sure. They're supposed to have my assignment ready by the time I get to Sector HQ. They may bury me in paperwork.
No, I don't think so. Even if you're in trouble now, it'll pass. And they're not going to waste a young officer with real combat ability.
The Admiral looked down the length of the conference room.
We're going to have to find something else. I know what we thought we were going to do with Lieutenant Sweezer, but we certainly cannot reward her performance with a plum assignment.
We needed her the way she was.
The way we thought she was, Commander. Thank any deity you like that we brought her in for training before assigning her permanently to Command Track. Imagine the mess she could have caused as a cruiser captain if all this had slid by.
I still find it hard to understand. There was nothing, nothing in her record to indicate that kind of character flaw. Rather, the opposite.
There was nothing in her record to indicate her ability in combat till Xavier. If she could hide that kind of talent, and she did, then this is no more difficult. And after all, she'd never been in contact with any of the families before. Altiplano has no seat in council.
There is that. I wish we knew whether there was anything more to it.
More? Verbal assault on the Speaker's daughter isn't enough?
Well, is it just personal or is it political? Is she the spear point for something?
I don't know, and at the moment, I don't care. We've wasted entirely too much money and time on this young woman, and we're going to have to figure out a way to get repaid without risking the welfare of the fleet.
The Admiral looked around the table.
Someone had better have an idea how.
Down at the far end, a Lieutenant Commander raised her hand.
Sir, she's elected to take both the basic level search and rescue as well as escape and evasion, right?
Yes.
SAR is chronically short of junior officers for both ship XOs and SAR team leaders. and those are command track billets. There are at least 3 openings for lieutenants in Sector 7 alone.
Relatively small ships, elite crew, operating independently for the most part. Yes, she'd be under close supervision. If she messes up or tries to foment some kind of action, her captain would know for sure. Good. What have you got?
Shrike, I thought. Podali Solis is commanding it, and his exec just applied for family leave.
I don't know about having her second in command.
My thought was it puts her more directly under the captain's supervision than she would be as a team leader. And we have no doubts about Solis. He helped us clean out that mess at Sector HQ, as I'm sure the Admiral recalls.
Yes, that's true. Probably the best we can do. Bless the girl. Why couldn't she have been as good as she seemed?
Esme arrived at Shrike's dock area to find it in perfect order. The guard saluted crisply and checked her orders.
I'll just let the captain know. We didn't expect you until early next shift.
Gossamer came in early.
Esme wondered what her father would think now, both about her promotion and the trouble she was in. She was sure he'd followed her career as best he could from Altiplano. Her promotions and awards were matters of public record, and the news media had covered the Kosciusko affair. Her thoughts drifted to her great-grandmother, so fragile, so embedded in her culture's past. What would she think? For an instant, she wished she could sit beside that low chair and pour out the whole story. Surely her great-grandmother would understand about Baron. Surely she would feel the same way about Bruin. Esme did not know whether Captain Solis's reserve was his habitual mood or whether he had been informed of the trouble she was in.
You're quite an experience to be taking over as number 2. I understand you have a distinguished combat record, especially considering that you were not in command track at the time. But the executive officer of an SAR, it's asking rather a lot of you.
I'll do my best, sir.
I'm sure you will. Your experience on a DSR will be some use, and I see you stood well in your classes in both search and rescue and escape and evasion. Still, it will be a stretch, and you might as well be prepared. Now, about this other problem. Your quarrel with the Speaker's daughter. If I'd been your CO, I'd have had you up for conduct unbecoming. He didn't. And so far, you have no record here, but I warn you, I will not tolerate disrespect for the civil government of the Familias Regnant. Officers do not play politics. We serve. We do not interfere.
Esme wanted to say that Brunn was not her father and had no official position of her own, but she knew she must not. Why did they keep thinking that her opinion of Brunn's behavior had anything to do with her loyalty to the fleet?
Yes, sir.
You will find no support for any family games on my ship, and no room for grandstanding either. You do your job and do it well, and you'll get the appropriate credit in your fitness reports. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yes, sir.
I'll expect you back here in 2 hours for a briefing. Dismissed.
It was cold comfort that her duffel was all in her compartment when she got there. At least her new position ensured a compartment, even on so small a ship. She glanced around. Bunk, storage lockers, desk, cube reader, and, to her surprise, a row of display screens above the desk. Esme inserted her data wand into the slot, and these screens flashed to life. One displayed the orders of the day, another gave the status of the 2 SAR teams and their vehicles, yet another listed stores, cross-linked to consumption rates. Esme stowed her gear in the lockers. She had nothing to put in 2 of them, and changed into a clean uniform. She did not look forward to the next meeting with her captain.